Hey, good morning, you guys. I have something that I want to share with y'all today. I'm just going to call this conditioning for the Antichrist and the false prophet. I want to give a shout out and thank you to Mr. Martin. It's M-A-R-T-I-J-N for bringing this to my attention. He shared this with me. I had not seen this. So God bless you for being awake out there. Thank you. Now, you guys, look at this picture on screen. Take a look at that. Now, I want to tell you something. This guy's name, as far as I know, he's nobody special, nobody famous, nobody like that, right? If he was saved, he would be special in God's eyes. But look at his eyes. Look at that one eye. Now, his little prosthetic eye there, this little fitting that he had made, doesn't really sit real well in his eye, but I'll tell you what that says. It says, I am. Let that sink in for a minute, because I'm going to tell you what. That is a big slap in God's face. That's trying to mock the great I am that I am. Okay? And I just want to tell you, his name is Raymond Zondervan. Now, I want to tell you something. That's just interesting to me that his last name happens to be Zondervan, because they're the same ones who publish the Satanic Bible as well as they publish Christian Bibles. Does that seem like a conflict of interest there? Money, right? And their agenda to get what they want into the Christian Bibles. Okay. Now, I want to, we're going to play this clip. I want to tell you guys, though, it's in Dutch, so you're probably not going to understand it, but you can still look at it and get the gist of what's going on, okay? Take a look. It's a short clip, and then we're going to talk about it afterward.
We zitten er alweer in.
Hij heeft nogal wat bekijks op de Invictus Games in Orlando. Ramon Zondervan komt uit voor het Nederlands team op de onderdelen fietsen en zwemmen. Maar staat daarnaast ook in de spotlights vanwege zijn bijzondere oogprothese. Daar staat namelijk in geel en zwart de woorden I am op geschilderd. En dat is het motto van deze spelen.
Veel mensen denken dat dit een lens is, maar het is een heel, het is een echt protheseoog. Wat met de hand is geschilderd. En ja, ik wil mensen eigenlijk laten zien van joh, zet die zonnebril af en durf er vooruit te komen. Hoe moeilijk die stap dan ook is voor hen.
En ook boegbeeld en organisator Prins Harry is de bijzondere prothese opgevallen.
Prins Harry die vond het eigenlijk heel erg mooi. Die heeft zelfs met zijn eigen telefoon nog even een fotootje gemaakt.
Ramon verloor zijn rechteroog bij een zelfmoordaanslag in Afghanistan in 2007. Hij hoopt met zijn prothese andere lotgenoten te inspireren. Om zich minder te schamen voor hun handicap.
Er zijn een stuk of 3-4 naar me toegekomen die zeggen dat ze het erg waarderen en het hen helpt in hun verwerking. Dat ik op deze manier met dit oog inloop. Ja. En dat doet me heel erg goed, vind ik leuk. En ik vind het een eer om ze op die manier te kunnen helpen.
Now, did you see that? I want to tell you something. This all has to do with those Invictus Games. Did you see how impressed Prince Harry was with that prosthetic eye? Boy, he thought that was the thing, didn't he? He thought that was just the greatest thing since, you know, sliced bread, right? You remember I talked about those Invictus Games in the Nephilim series that we just wrapped up, part 10, Obama. If you haven't seen that one, I talked about it in there. All of this, this I am that has to do with these Invictus Games is rebellion in God's face. And it's about the empowerment of humans to believe they are gods, right? Humanism, don't we see that everywhere? Oh, we're going to become gods. And most of them already think that they are gods. Okay? Now, I want to tell you something. Whenever this was shared with me, something else hit me instantly. And this is where I want you guys to get to. And you can, if you just draw closer and closer to God and ask Him to help you do it, He'll help you, okay? That's how awesome He is. When I saw this, something instantly hit me, and we're going to look at it right now with my spiritual eyes, okay? Let's go to Zechariah 11:17. Woe to the idle shepherd that leaves the flock. The sword shall be upon his arm and upon his right eye. His arm shall be clean dried up, and his right eye shall be utterly darkened. That's prophetic, y'all. Remember how scripture normally has a dual meaning, and sometimes it has more than one fulfillment. All right, this, sometimes it's natural and spiritual meaning. Usually you find that. And then sometimes it'll have a fulfillment back in the day, back in biblical times, and then it's going to happen in the future as well. That's why God wants us to study to show ourselves approved. Now listen to this. I went and looked at some commentaries on this because I wanted to see what they had to say, breaking down that one little scripture. Well, some of the commentaries were pretty good, so let's listen to them. And I have the links. You guys know that, all that I do. The first one is Benson Commentary. Our links are on our website. If you go to threeheartschurch.org, go to the sermons tab. All of my notes, always, that I do on anything, they're there, okay? Now, this is a Benson commentary. The sword shall be upon his arm and upon his right eye. As he has abused his power and his understanding, signified by his arm, an arm represents strength and power. You hear that where God says, is my arm too short to reach or to help? You hear the arm of the Lord, that's talking about strength, okay? Signified by his right arm and his right eye, God shall, in his judgment, deprive him of the use of both of those faculties. The sword is put for any instrument of the divine vengeance, because the sword of the Lord can be anything, right? Anything he chooses, as well as his word. As the word here, rendered sword, also means desolation. Blaney renders the cause because of his arm is desolation and because of his right eye. The purport of the passage is that since through the misapplication of his power and through his negligence in watching over the flock, they are subjected to desolation or the sword. Therefore, as of strict justice, he shall be punished with a deprivation at least of those faculties which he so fatally misused. See, God's going to judge that. God will have his day. God will have his vengeance, especially when you're set over his flock. Now, let's listen to this one. The next commentary is Barnes's notes on the Bible. He says, or it may be equally be, shepherd, thou idol, including the original meaning of nothingness, such as Antichrist will be. While he calls himself God and wills to be worshipped, that's what Antichrist is going to do. Remember, he's going to go sit up in the temple and declare himself to be God. He's going to require everybody to worship him. This shepherd shall therefore arise in Israel, because the true shepherd, that's Jesus Christ. Remember, he's the good shepherd. He's our true shepherd, okay? He's the one that will go looking for that one sheep that wanders or strays off, okay? That's Jesus. He cares about us that much to go and look for that one, okay? So the true shepherd said, I will not feed you. He is prophesied by another name in Daniel. Remember, because they rejected Jesus, he said, I'm not coming back until you cry out to me and you say, blessed is he that comes in the name of the Lord. That's what that's talking about here. So Jesus left and there's going to be another shepherd coming in. Okay? You get what you want, right? God turns us over to our wickedness and our sin. So here we are. Listen to this. Now mainly that's all talking about Israel. Okay? But this is end times prophetic. Okay? So let's get a hold on what it's saying. That applies to anybody who's rejected Jesus, if you want to get real and take it out of Israel, okay? Now, he says, he is prophesied by another name in Daniel, the prophet Daniel, chapter 9, and in the Gospel of Mark, chapter 13, in the epistle of Paul to the Thessalonians, 2 Thessalonians 2, as the abomination of desolation. That's Antichrist, who shall sit in the temple of the Lord and make himself as God. He comes not to heal, but to destroy the flock of Israel. the shepherd the Jews shall receive, whom the Lord Jesus shall slay with the breath of his mouth. See, they're going to receive that shepherd. They're going to welcome him. They didn't welcome Jesus. And Jesus is going to come back and deal with him with nothing but the word of his mouth, the breath of his mouth. That's his word. Jesus Christ is the living word, okay? And destroy with the brightness of his coming. Now, I want to remind y'all, remember Jesus said this when he walked this earth in the flesh. John 5:43. I am come in my Father's name, and you receive me not. If another shall come in his own name, him you will receive. Okay? The sword shall be upon against his arm and right eye. His boast shall be of intelligence and might. The punishment and destruction shall be directed against the instrument of each, the eye and the arm. The eye whereby he shall boast to behold acutely the mysteries of God and to see more than all the prophets heretofore, so that he shall call himself Son of God. Now, don't you see a place coming where he's going to act like he's so in tune with God that he's hearing all this stuff and he's seeing all this stuff and he's the one and he's all in line with God and all of this? God's going to take care of that. Listen to this. That's some of that great deception that's being poured out, that's going to be poured out stronger. Okay, that's why we got to have our eyes and ears to see and hear, okay? But the word of the Lord shall be upon his arm and upon his right eye, so that his strength and all his boast of might shall be dried up, and the knowledge which he promised himself falsely shall be obscured in everlasting darkness. Dionysius said, above and against the power of Antichrist shall be the virtue and vengeance and sentence of Christ, who shall slay him with the breath of his mouth. The right arm, the symbol of might, and the right eye, which was to direct its aim, should fail together through the judgment of God against him. He lately boastful and persecuting shall become blind and powerless. Remember, God's coming against that right eye and that right arm. And you can look at that and say that's just a supernatural thing, or you can look at it and say it's natural. And sometimes it's going to be both. You'll see it manifest in the natural and know it's spiritual. Just be aware of this because it's in the scripture, okay? Now, the last commentary, Jameson Fawcett Brown Bible Commentary, says the idol. The Hebrew expresses both vanity and an idol. Vanity in the Bible usually means foolishness. Says, compare Isaiah 14:13, Daniel 11:36, 2 Thessalonians 2:4, Revelations 13:5-6. As to the idolatrous and blasphemous claims of the Antichrist, the idle shepherd that leaves the flock cannot apply to Rome, but to some ruler among the Jews themselves. At first, cajoling, all getting along and getting along, right? Peaceful. Cajoling, then leaving them, nay, destroying them. God's sword shall descend on his arm, the instrument of his tyranny towards the sheep, and on his right eye. See, he was supposed to be leading the sheep, right, with your little staff, and you keep them in line and all that, but that's not what he was using his right arm for. Can you imagine him beating the sheep and killing the sheep and doing everything to scatter the sheep and destroy them with that right arm of power, right? Okay, so he says, and on his right eye wherewith he ought to have watched the sheep, he should have been watching those sheep. Carefully watching and attending to them and nurturing them and loving them because of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what he wants his shepherds, his under shepherds to do. And it says, however, Antichrist shall destroy rather than leave the flock. So they're saying here, the Antichrist isn't going to just leave the flock. He's going to destroy the flock. Okay? Head chopped off. All right? Dying by the sword. Perhaps, therefore, the reference is to the shepherds who left the flock to Antichrist rapacity, and who in just rebellion shall feel his sword on their arm, which ought to have protected the flock, but did not, and on their eye, which had failed duty to watch the sheep from hurt. The blinding of the right eye has attached to it the notion of ignominy, which means public shame. And I want to tell you something. That's true right here in the natural. You shepherds, you ministers, you pastors, you people standing up shepherding the Lord Jesus Christ sheep. You better know he expects you to be watching over those sheep. He expects you to be nurturing those sheep. He expects you to be teaching those sheep and praying over them and standing with them in agreement. He doesn't expect you to be beating the sheep up and leaving them, and it's all about you, and it's all about money, and it's all about famosity, and even the ones who are straight up serving Satan and could care less about the sheep. Now, about that public shame about the right eye, I want to read this last scripture. 1 Samuel 11:2 says, "And Nahash the Ammonite answered them." He had come against Jerusalem. He was besieging it, which means a time of war, okay? And they came out to meet him, and they were like, you know how sometimes you kind of talk it out. If you'll do this, I'll back off. If you ain't going to do this, it's on. We're going to take you down, right? So this is what Nahash said. The Ammonite answered them, "On this condition will I make a covenant with you, that I may thrust all your right eyes and lay it for a reproach upon all of Israel." Now that meant for Israel's shame, that he was going to thrust out, he was going to remove, poke out, smash out, take out their right eyes. So, read the rest of that story to find out what happened there, okay? That's what that was about. Now, I want to tell you, to me, the shepherd that's mentioned here that leaves the flock can be a dual role. It can be Antichrist and false prophet working together to abandon the flock, to turn and to attack the flock. And this warning is to all those false shepherds standing in the pulpits right now, shepherd that are not shepherding the sheep as per the Lord Jesus Christ, his heart and his guidance. He's the one you should be following, his lead. That's what I have for you guys. Thank you and God bless you for listening.